Welcome to the Battle of the Brothers Utah Utes and BYU Football Podcast, where two brothers, one a true blue BYU Cougars fan, the other a diehard Utah Utes fan, battle it out about BYU Cougars and Utah Utes football. I'm your host, C Double. Let me introduce you to our battling brothers here. Our BYU fanboy is TC. What's up, TC?
Yep, I'm kicking it right here.
And our Utes diehard is K-Ray. Are you live, K-Ray?
Oh my goodness, I'm live and I'm game for any fuss, unless that fuss is versus the Arizona State Sun Devils. Then my game.
All right, now last week we mentioned TC had a career as a mud wrestler while attending BYU, so we actually brought in someone who's going to give us the dirt on this. Now, Cam, are you with us?
I am here, loud and clear.
All right, we got Cam sitting in as a guest this week, so we'll get into that a little bit later. But first, let's get into this last weekend's games. Plenty to talk about here. BYU, brutal loss in Boise to the blistering Broncos in blue. Okay. TC, give it to us. Where does the blame for the loss on this one lie?
Wait a minute. I got to ask you, how long did you plan that alliteration?
That one just came together, man. I didn't have to plan that one at all for long at all, man.
That's great.
All right. So, I mean, we lost by one score. Had we punched it in, we would have won. Now, in context, that's not that bad of a loss. Since Boise has gone to Division I football, NCAA football, in 1999. They are, at home, their record, 119-8. They have only lost 8 games at home in, like, 19 years. So
That's insane. That is insane.
It's one of the hardest places to play. I mean, last week I said they didn't really have a chance to win, and, well, I was right. They didn't win, but they put up more of a fight than I expected. And, you know, last week I talked about how teams go through phases throughout the season, and there's surges and there's ebbs and there's flows. And I think we're actually starting to see an upswing by BYU. There's a lot of positives that came out of there. You know, Wilson was 18 for 27, 252 yards, no interceptions. But our running game needs a lot of work. Wilson led the team in carries with 18 carries. That can't happen moving forward. Unless your name is Michael Vick, you should not be playing quarterback and leading the team in carries. So I think that's the one area BYU really needs to look at, their offensive line play and their rushing. Another positive that I think came out was their defense. BYU's defense is starting to look pretty legit. They held Northern Illinois to one touchdown, and that was, I think, on short field possession. And you hold Boise to short points as well, to low points as well at home when they have that record. So I think a lot of positives come out of this. I think the only thing, if BYU could figure out how to get 2 to 3 yards, if they could come up with, you know, a few plays that could get them 2 to 3 yards, their recent history would be totally different. You know, they would have beaten Utah a couple of years ago. It was actually kind of leery. Leery is not the right word. It was kind of eerie, actually, on how similar that play looked to the Taysom Hill attempted 2-point conversion versus Utah. You know, just a busted play, quarterback instincts kick in. They just try to run it and hit a lineman. But man, if BYU could figure out how to get 2 or 3 yards, it's almost, you know, we're talking with, said, you know, from that we've had on the show before, it's almost just like a psychological barrier that they can't overcome. But having said that, you know, looking at the bigger picture, you know, freshman quarterback, second game, played, And I think there's a lot of upswing. You know, that was a legit Boise team on the road, and we had it. We had it in our grasp. So I think in the grand scheme of things, you know, if we end up going 6-6 or 7-5, that's not a big deal. I think the biggest thing is this momentum shifting ahead of the big rivalry game versus Utah. And we'll talk to you about Utah in a minute, but I think they're going in the opposite direction.
Interesting take. Yeah. I kind of had the same thoughts with Wilson's little attempt at the quarterback sneak into the end zone when Taysom tried to do the same thing. Yeah, a little flashback there. All right, yeah. Kerry,
one thing I want to throw out there. I talked about the defensive efforts, but just backing that up with some statistics. We held Boise to 6 yards per pass and 3 yards per run. Whereas offensively, we had 10 yards per pass, but rushing, again, that's the biggest weakness. We only had 2.5 yards per run. But defensively, you can tell it is starting to come together. And we just need to get our run game together, and we'll be competitive against anybody.
Now, real quick, the announcers in the game mentioned that they didn't really agree with BYU kind of switching in running backs, all throughout the game, that, you know, one guy couldn't get hot, couldn't get the momentum. What's your take on that? Do you think there's any validity to that?
I think there's validity to it. I'm not sold on Hadley being our feature back. I'd much rather see Riley Burton there getting all those carries. But, you know, more importantly, again, it's our quarterback is rushing 18 times in a game. It's he had as many carries as he did completed passes.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a worrisome trend to run game.
Yeah, sure. Definitely a great, great point there. Okay, K-Ray, what's your take on the BYU loss to Boise State?
Well, speaking of run game, I've said this last couple weeks. I cannot figure out your run game. One week it's Canada, the next week it's Katoa, the next week it's Hadley. Who's your running back? What happened to Bo Hodge? I thought he was supposed to be a running back. He's the only one. He's the only member of the BYU football team that hasn't played running back yet this year. Where is he? To be honest, the game started really late, and I ran a marathon that day. So I watched the first half, and then I watched the highlights of the second half. and I bring up that marathon because the marathon was won by a BYU grad. It was the Indianapolis Marathon, and it was won by a guy named Aaron Fletcher, who ran at BYU. Yeah,
What are the odds of that?
Wow. I know he won the whole thing. He finished an hour before me, and he didn't stick around to cheer me on. I'm not sure. I thought that was a little rude, frankly. So
the Cougars did have some semblance of a victory over the
Utes. Hey, Cougars' victory was in Indianapolis this last weekend.
Your running game in Indianapolis was very strong this past weekend. Yes. I told you last week that you guys had a shot to win this thing, and you did. You probably should have won. Well, that last play, I wish Zach Wilson would have thrown the ball away and lived to fight for another down. I mean, there's still a couple seconds on the clock when he decided to take off. I mean, throw that sucker into the stands and give yourself one more down. But that's really easy for me to say when I'm not out there playing. I mean, that's one of those things where you're in the game and he had rushed for another touchdown earlier in the game, so it was on his mind, and you can kind of see what he was trying to do there. Like I said, I thought you guys had a chance, and you did. I was surprised that Brett Rippon had such really a fairly poor game. Only one touchdown, one interception. You know, he's I feel like he's been at Boise State forever. I mean, how long have we been talking about Brett Rippon at Boise State? But tough game, tough loss. You hate to do that, and you know all I can say is welcome to the club. That was us, USC. that was USC last year for us. It was Cal the year before. I mean, that's a brutal way to lose when you got a chance at the end. And I think BYU is playing better. Certainly they've improved since the Utah State game. Northern Illinois is a letdown, but even in that game, they played better than they did against Utah State. So on the ups, just like TC said, I agree.
Yeah, I had had the same take as TC. Even though it was a loss, it wasn't a bad loss. I mean, Matt Bushman doesn't fumble the ball, and BYU wins. Well, here's my problem that I can't believe neither of you mentioned. The O-line is just horrible. Like, nearly every play, Wilson is being hurried, he's being rushed, he's being pressured. I mean, that's half the reason why he's gaining so many yards is because he's just having to run. So I don't think they're going to win. I mean, granted, they'll probably win their next two games, but I don't think they're going to win the Utah game if they don't get that fixed. I don't think they're – I think that's a problem that they've got to fix, and they got to fix it fast.
Yeah, Utah has – some very, very impressive blitz packages. And, yeah, I mean, the offensive line has two games to really put things together to be a competitive foe against Utah.
Yeah. Well, should be interesting. They definitely have some work to do, but definitely, yeah, on the upswing, they definitely look like a different team than they did the first half of the season. All right, so – now, before we get to K-Ray's take on the Utes loss to the greatest school on planet Earth, the mighty Sun Devils of ASU, let me just remind everyone that I called this game. I said ASU would beat Utah, and they did. Yeah. And I definitely didn't get the point spread right, but you know, I rarely pick games right, so as you two know, so I must gloat, must glory in this moment. So,
well, you've been hyping up that receiver all season, and I really haven't paid much attention until this game. And oh my gosh, that guy is amazing.
Yeah, he's nuts. I mean, that was actually probably his best game all year. I mean, he hasn't been that amazing as he was in that game in every game, but oh yeah, he's a factor in every game. I mean, he has some amazing, amazing catches, some amazing, you know, after catch yards. It's just, yeah, he's NFL bound for sure. He's amazing.
N'Keal Harry. Yeah.
He's
very good. He's very good.
Yeah. Now, okay. So K-Ray, what went wrong for the Utes in that game?
Oh boy. Well, where do I start? I mean, it was a day game, which we do not play well day games. And I know that sounds really silly to say, but it's absolutely true. We just don't play well in day games. And it was against the team that really owns us. As I said last week, Arizona State. It was at Arizona State. You know, we were down early and we fought back and I gotta think, would the game have been different if we wouldn't have given away that interception right at the beginning of the game? We were down 7-0. Tyler Huntley throws it up. It hits Dixon in the arms, bounces up, and Arizona State intercepts it. Brutal. I mean, that was a, as soon as that happened, I thought,
yeah,
I thought, oh no, oh yeah, no, oh no. Tyler Huntley breaks his collarbone. He's done for the year. It was a bad, bad, bad day all the way around. Eno Benjamin, 175 yards to Arizona State. That dude's a monster. That guy's a beast. You combine that with N'Keal Harry and, They just have some athletes on that team. Arizona State has some legitimate athletes. Zach Moss had a good game. He had 128 yards. He averaged 7 yards a carry, which makes you wonder, which makes me wonder, why didn't he have more carries? He only had 18 carries. Eno Benjamin, on the other hand, had 27 carries. Mm-hmm. Why didn't Zach Moss have more carries, especially especially after Huntley went out. Huntley goes out, Shelley comes in, and three pass plays. What?
Yeah.
What in the world? Oh, brother. So the only bright side, and there's no bright side to seeing someone get hurt in college, a student athlete get hurt in college. The only bright side to this for the University of Utah is now our offensive coordinator has no choice but to simplify and not get fancy on his offensive play calls. Look, I like the trick plays. They work. They work at Utah. We have good trick play athletes. Britton Covey, for example. But now that Jason Shelley is the starting quarterback, give the ball to Zach Moss on first down, second down, third down, fourth down. Give it to him four downs in a row every time we have the ball, and we're going to win games. He's going to have to settle down a little bit on the play calling that gets us in trouble.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting take there. Interesting. All right. Yeah. I think ASU still probably would have won this if Huntley was in, but man, him going out definitely that was, I mean, it was done at that point. TC, give us your thoughts on the Utes game. Were you able to catch this one?
Yeah, I saw most of it. My key takeaway is clearly Britton Covey did not heed the advice of his grandfather, because fielding a punt over your shoulder while backpedaling is not one of the seven habits of highly effective people. I think that was the moment where the game was kind of out of reach when he made that fumble.
That was pretty bad.
That was a backbreaker. With Huntley out, I mean, again, we've said this before, you never want to see anybody get injured, but that kind of changes the dynamics of Utah's game, and they got to reassess on, you know, what their offensive scheme is. Maybe they don't. Maybe he's more of a plug and play player like than I'm thinking. I remember seeing him in the beginning of the season. I was actually more scared of him than Huntley, but Huntley has just come so long so far this season.
Yeah.
I mean, Shelley does have a lot of speed, and so he is a bit of a threat. If he gets out in the open and starts running, but passing, yeah, I didn't really see much. Not like Huntley was kind of zoning in and targeting the receivers. I mean, it's kind of a wild card. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the next couple weeks? So I guess we'll see pretty soon when they play Oregon.
Yeah, it definitely is going to be. I mean, there's a bunch of question marks for Utah the rest of this season. I mean, they already have kind of a tough schedule with Oregon coming up, and they got Colorado and BYU. I mean, none of those games are gimmies. And now with the Huntley injury, oh man, it's a little bit unnerving to be a Utes fan right now. But I think you guys hit on all the points on that game. Yep, Britton Covey's mistake, his blunder was huge. I mean, there were just a bunch of blunders in that game that definitely turned the game around. But like I said, I mean, after I watched ASU play against USC, I mean, they played like this. They played just out of their minds, just amazing. Coming back after, you know, getting knocked down here and there, they just would come back, and just like they did with this game. And so, I mean, this ASU team, this was not the ASU team the first half of the season. So it's, yeah, they're in the fight now for the Pac-12 South Championship. So that should be a fun one to watch, see what happens there. Okay, looks like we lost Cam. Somehow we got disconnected, so we'll have to save that story for another day. Now, I just saw Dave Rose, BYU's basketball coach, just got a coaching contract extension. Let's talk about Satake. His final year on his contract is next year. TC, does Satake deserve a contract extension?
If he gets us to a bowl game, yes. I think you got to give him a chance to get his recruits in and get his personnel in. There's a lot of debate on whether or not Detmer was even his hire. Homo kind of mandated him based on my recommendation.
Exactly. That's right.
So, yeah, if he gets us to a bowl game, which, I mean, he should be able to beat UMass and New Mexico State. So if he loses one of those games, then no. If he can win both of those games, then yes. Now, he could salvage a loss to both of those teams by beating Utah. But the easiest path to keeping his job is winning your next two games. And just as an aside with the story for Cam, I know we lost him. The story was not all that intriguing. It was hyped up to be a little more than what we what actually transpired. But we can say that for another day.
Okay, so K-Ray, well, what's your take on Satake? Does he deserve to be a coach after next year?
Oh, goodness, yes. Yeah, and I mean, no, players love Satake. They love him. I mean, he's at least when he coached at Utah, people, the players liked him a lot. And I agree. You got to give him more than 4 years, given what the cupboard was bare, except for Taysom and Jamal. The cupboard was pretty bare when he got there. So you got to give him a chance to fully go through a recruiting cycle and see what he can do. And plus, I mean, this is BYU you're talking about, right? I mean, this is not a place where they're going to fire someone after 4 years without a really good reason. And I don't think you have a really good reason to not re-up Satake. He fits the mold. He played at BYU. He's a return missionary. He should be a good recruiter. You got Bevel they talk about. Jay Hill, Weber State's a hot name. He's my boy Jay Hill. We've talked about him before. I think he'd actually be a great hire. He played at Rooks College and at the University of Utah. He's a good LDS guy, which you got to have to be the BYU head football coach. So I think there's a couple of people out there, right? The defensive coordinator for Stanford is a member of the church. And, of course, the TC, correct me if I'm wrong, but the pipe dream is Andy Reid, right?
Well, yeah, that would be everybody's dream. But, frankly, I think I would rather have Mike Leach. And I know there's, questions as to, is he active or not, whatever. I mean, I think he would be the dream coach for BYU. It would get us back to our roots. I mean, he's running the offense that everybody's copying that he got from watching Lavelle's offense. And it would come full circle. So, yeah, I mean, that's who I would prefer. And, I'd even take the Navy coach. I think it would actually be kind of fun to watch the triple option. It's just such a unique offense. But yeah, I mean, there's options out there. Everybody says, well, who else are you going to get? There's always options. They said that, when Bronco left. Well, who are we going to get, Well, maybe BYU's success or lack thereof is kind of, demonstrating that. But I think there are other options out there.
Okay.
They're going to keep Kalani. They're going to keep him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's preview next week's games. K-Ray, the Utes have Oregon at home this Saturday. Do they come out with a dub?
Win. Definite win. No question. Britton Covey owns Oregon. At least he did 3 years ago. I think the offense revolves heavily around Zach Moss. And I think that they simplify it, and our defense, Oregon has not faced a defense like ours, and I think it's a win at home. It's a 3:30 start in Salt Lake, so it will be dark before halftime, which means we'll win.
What is this thing with daylight you have? What? in the world.
We can't win in the daylight. We always win at night. We can't win in the daylight. It's just our thing.
All right, TC, can the Utes beat Oregon?
I don't know. I mean, K-Ray, have you ever predicted a loss for Utah this season?
Yes. Yes, I have. I mean, yes, I have.
Every game, it's we're going to – this is a cakewalk. No worries. The game starts after 6. This is going to be a walk in the park.
Listen to our podcast last week. What I said is a very good chance we lose to Arizona State, which we did.
Right. Fair enough. I will say our preseason predictions, I had BYU going 6-6 and Utah 8-4, which is starting to look, you know, pretty on point. I think you had them at 10-2. So
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't think Oregon is going to be as easy as K-Ray thinks. I think you got a brand new quarterback in there. It actually kind of depends on which Oregon team shows up. Is it the Oregon team that got slaughtered by Arizona, or is it the Oregon team that beat Washington and, frankly, should have beat Stanford had it not been for, you know, a series of unfortunate events? Utah has been pretty constant. I think you know what you're going to get, really good defense. A heavy dose of Moss. I think, you know, I think Utah coaches will probably wise up and do what K-Ray was saying. I think the wild card is which Oregon team shows up. So, Vegas only has Utah favored by a field goal. So I've been wrong before. I do not think this is going to be a cakewalk.
Now I'm actually going to the game. Is there anything I should be asking Utes fans while I'm at the game?
Good question. I think you should ask Ute fans what their prediction for the BYU game will be, and then we can play that on this podcast that week.
Yeah, that should be interesting. That's a good one. All right, TC, BYU plays UMass. Does BYU have what it takes to win this one? You're actually going to that game, right?
That's right. So that'd be interesting. Maybe I should ask BYU fans what their prediction is for the Utah game. You ask Utah fans what their prediction is for the BYU game, and we will compare and contrast.
There we go. All right. We might have a little fan interaction next podcast.
UMass can score points. They scored 32 points against then undefeated South Florida. Last week they scored 62 points against Liberty. Liberty's just down the road for me. That was like a triple overtime game, though, so they had some extra time to put points on the board. But their quarterback, the one that beat us last year, Andrew Ford, he had a pretty bad leg injury against Coastal Carolina. So he has been out. And their backup, Ross Comus, I think they've been trying to rely more on their running game. But the last game he came out, before this game he hadn't done much of anything, but last game, 540 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. So BYU's defense will need to hold strong, and I think they can do it. I think this matches up similar to what the Hawaii game was, a very prolific offense that hasn't played against some very good defenses all year. So I think, you know, BYU might be one of the best defenses they play all year. You know, right behind Georgia, who they play next week.
All right. K-Ray, what say ye?
Is
BYU going to come out with a win?
Are we having this conversation? Are we really trying to figure out if BYU can beat UMass?
Well, yes. We lost to them last year at home.
Yes, BYU can beat UMass. UMass is not a good team. I don't know what the weather's like, though. Does anybody know what the weather is like? That always evens things out. If the weather's
it's supposed really bad. To be about 50 degrees and sunny.
Nah, well, then BYU. BYU wins easily.
All right. Well, they should. Like we've said in previous games, Northern Illinois, they should win, yes. All right. right. Any other thoughts you guys got for this week?
Be interested to see how Utah's offense adjusts with the new quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. My only thought is it's basketball season. BYU opens with Nevada, or as we say out east, Nevada. Unfortunately, that's what people say here. The Utes, the running Utes, open with Maine. So should be a W for the Utes. The Cougs, I think they're going to hang with Nevada. Certainly, I predict a very close game at least through the first half.
Quite the prediction there, K-Ray. Very, very.
Are you sure you don't have the game on right now? Because we're actually doing this podcast during that game. So way to hedge your bets there.
Let's just say this, all right? Let's just say this, all right? It's going to be close to the first half. I can guarantee that.
Put your money on it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, all right. Well, until next week, we are out.
Right. Peace.
Right. Take care.
It's past.
Oh my gosh.
All right, let's go. Do yeah. it.
Should I start the call or what?
Yeah.
Should I restart it?
The whole thing?
Well, just restart the recording. Yeah, the whole thing. Is my audio that bad? Do we want to restart it?
All right, you're good now. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. You're good now.
All right. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Our podcast is rapidly deteriorating.
This is bad news, man.
Very bad. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Okay, we were about to get Cam's take on. Hold on, I gotta restart this thing.